Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
So again, for the people that are mad, there are people out there posting pictures of Mahomes working out last night. Somebody just sent me another one, and he's just openly working out barefoot in front of kids doing calisthenics over. Look at this. Describe that, Marco. I'm not doing this.
Let's go!
He's got a camera crew.
Let's go!
He's got a camera crew, a boom mic.
Come on!
He's got a couple of kids, a couple 10-year-old kids over here.
There's three kids that appear to be doing some sort of calisthenics right behind him, watching him.
He ain't hiding it.
He's barefoot. He looks like he's doing some kind of reverse lunges. There's a camera guy 5 feet from him shooting the whole thing.
Apparently half of Kansas City took a picture of him working out last night.
There's a guy with the boom mic right behind that.
You should delete this.
Shut up!
Bring on the Bengals! Come on!
Let's talk to Mark Boerichter. Hello, Mark.
Good morning, fellas. How are you guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Down here in Lubbock, Texas, with about 4 inches of snow, and all my high schools are closed today. So I'm going to be moving all my high school meetings to Zoom calls from the hotel. Good times.
What do you have to say about all this, about ankle gate? I had to add a gate to that now. So,
well, I've had a high ankle sprain before, as pretty much everybody else has, apparently, in Kansas City, right?
Yes. So, you know, I had a high ankle sprain.
You got to give him some kudos for being able to do that.
I couldn't squat for a month.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
Kick my own ass after that.
Here's what I'll just say about Mahomes' ankle. If this was a regular season game this week, I don't think he would play. And that would be probably at the direction of the organization. But in a win-or-go-home scenario, in an AFC Championship game, I don't think there's any way that he doesn't try to give it a go on Sunday. It's ingrained in his mentality. It's ingrained in every actual athlete's mentality. And when I say actual, of course, I'm excluding all the people that couldn't go to work for 8 days because they had a high ankle sprain, right?
And I feel for you. It just is not relatable to Mahomes. Thank you.
No, it's when you start talking about world-class athletes and professional athletes, like, you get the best care you can get. You're going to get the most treatment you can get yourself ready to play. And I would be extremely shocked if he obviously does not play on Sunday. I don't think there's any way in the world that he's not playing. We'll just put it that way.
So, okay, like, I'm totally down with that. Like, I expect, I'm like, this dude's playing. I never thought, oh, they're not going to play him next weekend. But I did think, because, yes, like, my ankle sprain from 16 years ago when I was playing down at the rec center does not compare to his, but watching other professional athletes and listening to them talk about the ankle sprains they've suffered and what the recovery was like and everything, I expected, okay, well, the dude's going to be in a boot for most of the week, and not because he can't walk, but because they're going to try to protect that thing with all they can, and all they can do is try to heal it as much as possible before the game. I didn't expect to see pictures of him out there going through workouts barefoot and things like that. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to do here is, Mark, like, there's high-level athletes, And then there's like another tier that it seems like Mahomes belongs in, like with the, when he's dislocated his knee and he's like back in 2 weeks and he's doing full workouts like, you know, the next week and all that stuff. How unusual is that for a guy at the NFL level to suffer a high ankle sprain and then be out there 2 days later barefoot doing all these types of workouts and stuff?
Well, in some ways it can be a little unusual, but I will also say this, like, if you talk to medical professionals now, in terms of rehab for high ankle sprains and ankle injuries, the treatment has completely changed. And the philosophy around the rehab has completely changed. And in a lot of ways, if you talk to folks in that side of things, the worst thing you can do is put it in a boot nowadays and immobilize it. Where, you know, the old rice, right? The rest, ice, compression, elevation piece. You know, after the initial injury, you actually don't, you got to work to get the swelling out. And how you work to get the swelling out now is through motion. It's not through sitting around and icing it and trying to do that. That has completely changed. The philosophy around those has completely changed. That being said, you know, I'm not surprised that there's photos of him, you know, working out and doing all those things, because to get the swelling out of it now, and that inflammation, the best thing you can do is to move it. And, you know, is it unique that he's got, quote, healing powers, self-healing powers, I think? Yeah, I mean, some athletes and some people just recover better and faster than others. But it's not a shock to me, I guess, is where I'm going with this, to see him actively working out barefoot, because that's the best thing he can do for his ankle right now. And again, to take it back to, quote, the common person out there who sprains their ankle at the YMCA or those types of things, you're not going to rehab the exact same way as a professional athlete is going to. And it's treated differently. And that's 100% how it is. But he does have a unique ability to be able to come back from injury, and some guys just definitely have that ability to do that.
And there's always the chance that maybe the Chiefs just got lucky here, and they were able to avoid having a really bad high ankle sprain, and it's a mild case, and he's just gonna be all right.
But the thing that's hard for me to grasp with that though is we all saw him playing in that second half. I mean, he wasn't even planting his foot in the ground to turn and give a handoff. He was hopping on one leg doing that. That's the part that I guess makes it hard for me to think, like, well, it was just a mild one. You know, does that make sense, Mark?
No, it certainly does. But we sit here on Tuesday, and that was on Saturday, right? Right after that happened. And I think the one thing that, if you want to look at a concerning portion of this, Nate, which I think is where you're going with this, is that for a right-handed quarterback, which the majority of them are, I do think they probably dodged a bullet, because this could have been obviously a lot worse. And we saw, you know, a running back for the Bills get tackled in somewhat of a similar fashion and break his.
The Cowboys,
the Cowboys game. I meant, the Cowboys game and Pollard. But for a right-handed quarterback, that is the foot in your right foot and his right ankle that he has to push off of. That's what's concerning. It wouldn't be as concerning if it was his left foot, which is his, you know, his front foot when he throws. He's got to use that right ankle a little bit more and right foot a little bit more based on being able to throw the football. And I think we all saw that, you know, in the first half, the first quarter, I mean, he jumps in the air before the injury, throws the ball 17 yards down the field to strike to Kelsey, then on the RPO does one of his patented, you know, Pat Mahomes sidearm double, you know, double pump, flick of the wrist type of thing. But in order to be able to push off, and maybe push off is not the right term, but there's a lot of torque on that back foot and ankle to throw the football. And that's the part I think that's concerning, because it is his right ankle.
So let's talk about this matchup. Eli Apple says the Bengals defense is the best in the league. They are all talking. They're calling Arrowhead, Burrowhead. They seem to be confident, even overconfident. A lot of people are picking the Bengals to win this game. The Bengals have beat the Chiefs three games in a row, although all of them were close one-score games. What has been the biggest problem, in your opinion, when the Chiefs have played the Bengals?
Well, in all three of those games, since we're specifically talking about those, they were all three-point defeats for the Chiefs, all by 3 points. Obviously, the AFC Championship game last year went to overtime. When you start looking at stuff, for me, it's about the second half. The Chiefs have been in leads, have had leads in every single one of those games. It's been the second half that's been the differentiator for the Bengals in terms of obviously scoring more points than the Chiefs have in the second half to win those games. Their defense is really, really good. And when you get to this time of year in the AFC Championship game, both of these teams are really good. You can't sit here like we did a week ago and said, hey, the Chiefs should beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jags are an up-and-coming team. They're a good football team, but the Chiefs should win that game. So far, the Bengals over the last calendar year have just had the Chiefs number. But they've been really, really close games. And it does come down, I think, for me, to the defense. When I say that, the defense for the Kansas City Chiefs. They've got to be able to get after Joe Burrow this week. The Bills were not able to get a consistent pass rush whatsoever. I think the weather had a little bit to play in that whole piece, but the Bengals are a patient team. That is the one differentiator for me offensively. They are patient. They will run the football, and Joe Burrow is a really, really good quarterback, and he's got really, really good weapons around him. And when you get to this time of year and you're able to run the football effectively, like they've been able to do, and be patient and then take your shots when you do, that creates issues. And if there's one thing about this Chiefs team, we've said it, and I've said it a million times too, offensively, they can get impatient. Defensively, Steve Spagnuolo sometimes can get a little impatient where he starts bringing some extra blitzes that maybe he doesn't need to bring. See the touchdown early in the game when Karlaftis is on the running backs in coverage in the red zone and Willie Gay's blitzing. Like, just bring Karlaftis off the edge and let Willie Gay cover. Those types of things are going to wear on the Chiefs, and so it's a patience game, and that's one thing that the Bengals are really good at, is being patient all the way around.
So Steven was showing me video of a particular play. You talk about those blitzes. They caught Trevor Lawrence toward the end of the game when Justin Reed caught the blitz. You want to describe that one, Steven?
No, I don't
want
ahead.
To. Okay, well, it was Kirk that was being defended.
Yes.
Kirk is running like a seam route down the middle of the field, defended one-on-one by Frank Clark. And Clark was actually kind of with him step for step, but still, that's clearly where the ball should have gone. But Trevor Lawrence didn't pick up the blitz fast enough, and he kind of panicked and threw it into double coverage. I feel like that's the kind of play Burrow sees that coming and makes you pay. Is that, to me, like when people talk about the difference, okay, like why is Burrow getting put on this pedestal? Does he have any physical attributes that Trevor Lawrence doesn't have? Or is it the fact that if the Chiefs try to catch him with one of those, he will actually see it and make the right throw?
I think it's the latter there. I think he's got the mental aspect of the game to see those and make you pay. And, I'll say this. There's nothing wrong with running a few of those defenses and blitz combinations from time to time to try to confuse the offense and take advantage of the quarterback. And the Chiefs, obviously, and Steve Spagnuolo obviously felt they could do that this past week with Trevor Lawrence. I don't think you can do that with Joe Burrow. I just don't. And the other piece with Joe Burrow is, and this Bengals team, is they have more weapons offensively. And yes, the Jaguars had weapons, but when you combine the makeup of Joe Burrow, his ability to, again, be patient, if he's got to throw the ball into the ground next to a running back or throw it away, he's more than happy to do that, a la Peyton Manning back in the day, and go to third down. You have to mix up your defenses a little bit, but you also have to have a little bit of common sense and say, hey, we've got a young secondary. They're really, really good. They've come a long way. If we're going to blitz, let's not try to confuse things and have a running back leak out with the responsibility or a wide receiver, as you just described, with the responsibility of a defensive end trying to cover that. Because, and you can't get greedy with that, knowing that this Bengals offensive line is banged up with three backup guys who played really well a week ago. They proved a week ago that they could handle it. And so, you know, if you want to bring some blitzes and pressure, that's fine. You've got to pick your spots when to do that. But I don't think you want to do that with your defensive end, you know, having to get into coverage, for sure.
Mark, can you hold on for a few minutes and come back with us for another segment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much. That's Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver. He'll rejoin us after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's rejoin Mark Boerichter. Former Chiefs wide receiver. Mark, how can this team, how can this defense get to Joe Burrow and harass him and sack him and put pressure on him? What do they need to do?
I think it's just about attitude and effort. And, you know, that's what defense is all about, ultimately, is attitude and effort. I've said that a million times. But the challenge of playing Joe Burrow, and we just mentioned this a little bit, is how smart he is, and he's going to want to get the football out fast. Again, I think it's a patience game that it is for your defensive line, that effort and motor has to be there from your pass rushers all game long. It's gotten better here down the stretch for the Chiefs. They've been much better this year at getting after the quarterback. I think you move Chris Jones around a little bit to find the matchup up front that you feel is best, where you can get him in some one-on-one situations. Karloftis has to have a big game. Frank Clark has to have a big game. Carlos Dunlap has to have a big game. Mike Dana has to have a big game. It lies up front in the trenches for me because they've got to hold the point of attack in the run game as well. And one way you negate the pass rush is being able to run the football well. And that's one thing that Cincinnati is dedicated to doing. I think you've got to get them in some passing situations specifically. You know, you can't live in the second and five area on things. You've got to live in the second and nine, you know, second and seven, eight type of range where you force Cincinnati to throw the football. That way you can kind of pin your ears back and come get them.
Is it wrong to say, look, Chris Jones, you're the man. This is your defense. You're the highest paid defender. You were one of the best defensive linemen in football this year. You have to have a monster game. This is why you're here.
I don't think that's unfair to say. You know, I don't necessarily, you know, he's still looking for, right, that playoff sack. I think, you know, that's a concern over the course of his career. But you can be impactful and be disruptive and not actually get the stats of the sack. He's got to be able to pressure Joe Burrow, and I don't think it's unfair to have that expectation of him. He has got to be a disruptive force. And whether that's, you know, forcing Joe Burrow out of the pocket so he throws it away, whether it's tipping the pass, whether it's actually getting to Joe Burrow and sacking him, he's got to have a monster game. And, you know, a lot of that, again, comes through him in the pass rush. And I just talked about having the matchup and trying to find the matchup up front that where he's one-on-one. But if he ends up getting double-teamed, then those other guys around him have to get to the quarterback. So he can still be a disruptive force by not getting the sack, but I don't think it's unfair to say by any means that he has to have a monster game this week.
So let's talk about these young DBs against those wide receivers. Ja'Marr Chase went 7 catches for 97 yards last time on 8 targets. The rest of the guys didn't have massive games, but they made plays when they needed to. And one of the storylines this whole season has been, okay, you got these young, hey, the Chiefs put their eggs in the basket of these young defensive backs, right? Like they let Rashad Fenton go because they trusted these guys. They had a good game this last weekend against the Jags. How much better are they, if at all, coming into this game than they were just how long ago was it now when they
played? A month and a half ago.
Is it fair to say to expect them to be better, or just from having the experience of defending these guys once before, does that put them in a better position? How different do you think the situation is this time around compared to last time?
I think when you look at that game that was early in December, they weren't rookies anymore at that point. But I think when you look at this young secondary, they've played really well all year. And quite frankly, I think they've exceeded a lot of expectations as a group in terms of how they played. I think you also have to understand, if you're them, that group in the secondary, that you know you're going to get beat from time to time. That's the National Football League. It's a difficult position to play because of all the rules that favor the offense. But I'll say this, Nate. I think that I'm really confident in the secondary coming into this game. And the reason I say that is they already have a playoff game under their belt. As young guys, this isn't the divisional round. They already played a game in the playoffs, in that atmosphere, knowing what's at stake. It's a win or go home, obviously, mentality. And you win this game, you win the AFC Championship, you go to the Super Bowl. So, is there any more pressure on this week? I don't necessarily think so. I mean, Jamar Chase obviously is a tremendous wide receiver. But T. Higgins is good. Boyd is good. Their tight end is good. They've got weapons, and Jacksonville had weapons a week ago. So I don't think you really change anything secondary-wise. But, again, you've got to be able to pressure the quarterback. Those two things go hand in hand. If they can't get after Joe Burrow at a consistent basis and make him get the football out of his hands faster than he wants to, it's going to be a long day for that secondary. But I'm really confident in the way they're playing right now and where they've matured and come along the season.
So – Cincinnati ran the ball 34 times for 172 yards, 5.1 yards per carry against the Bills last week. I know that Joe Burrow is the person that you got to stop and put pressure on, but how important is it for the Chiefs to be able to slow down the Bengals' rushing attack?
I think it's huge. That's why I said, you know, looking at it, you can't live in second and five. You can't live in second and three because you're getting 6-7 yards a pop on the running game. It's the one thing that Cincinnati does really well is run the ball. And Joe Mixon, obviously, Samaje Perine, they're going to be patient. And if the running game is working, they're going to stick with that run game. Now, they're not going to run it, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust all game long. But if they're successful running the ball, it's going to slow down your pass rush. And it's going to put you a little bit more on your heels. So the linebacking core, we just talked about defensively, the secondary, the pass rush. But Nick Bolton, Willie Gay, if Leo Chanel is in there in a running situation, like they've got to be able to get off blocks in the running game and slow them down. And make – this is crazy to say, but it's – make the Bengals throw the football. And if Joe Burrow beats you that way, then Joe Burrow beats you that way. And I think you're possibly happy to take that from him. But you know, it's a dangerous proposition to put the game in his hands. But if you don't stop the running game this week also, it's going to be a long day for the Chiefs defense.
Okay, and so you have Patrick – on the other side, you have Patrick Mahomes, who may not be 100%. I don't know, because I'm not going to doubt him. I'm just right. going to I'll figure it out what percent he is on Sunday, but you have Isaiah Pacheco, who had 12 carries for 95 yards, and there were at times in the second half I was screaming, "Give him the ball, give him the ball more." McKinnon at 11 carries was not nearly as effective, but overall 30 carries for 144 yards, 4.8 yards per carry. You'll take that. How do you want the Chiefs to utilize their run game? I know that Jerick McKinnon is important to have in there, especially this coming week with the ankle issue, to have him in there as a pass protector. He's excellent in pass pro and that personal protector for Patrick Mahomes picking up the blitz. But how many touches, how many carries would you like to see Isaiah Pacheco get? What would you like to see from the Chiefs run game?
I don't know if there's a number of carries that I want to see Pacheco get. You know, obviously averaging close to 8 yards a carry last week on 12 carries, close to 100 yards. That's really efficient, right? That's super efficient. That'll get the job done. Jerick McKinnon wasn't as efficient, as you mentioned, running the football. But I think the Chiefs need to rely on that run game. And we've talked about it a lot this year. I think they're relying on a little bit more. You know, you're running the ball for 140 yards on the ground. That's a good day. That's a good day running the football for this offense. I think the one thing, Steven, when you look at the stat line from a week ago, Jerick McKinnon didn't have a pass reception at all. And he's been such a threat out of the backfield in the passing game. And you mentioned, you know, how good he is in pass protection. They've got to get him a little bit more involved in the passing game this week. And part of that is through the checkdowns and things like that. And I would expect it to be, you know, a little bit more in the screen game as well with Mahomes' ankle. You have to make a few adjustments as the week goes on, depending on how, you know, mobile Patrick Mahomes is. But I would look for Jerick McKinnon to have a big day, and more so in the passing game than the run game.
Do you remember how much time we spent talking about special teams the last few weeks of the regular season?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
It's, it doesn't seem like we're as freaked out about it now.
Oh, I'm freaked out. They almost lost the game because of it.
You know what happens when you make extra points and field goals? That goes away. Right?
What about when you keep kicking to a guy when you don't have to, and he almost returns two kicks for touchdowns? How about that?
I'll say this. That was a mishit by Harrison Butker on that kickoff.
Okay, so you don't that's the question. You don't think Tobe told him, "I'll kick it. We want to go down there and cover the kick." After he had that first one, I'm thinking, look, one of the only ways Jacksonville can get back in this game, win this game, is they have a big turnover, a big special teams play. And Butker, if he doesn't make that tackle with his face or whatever he did, and he, can you imagine if he would return that, if Agnew would have had a touchdown, which he almost did. After he almost returned one, you're like, okay, no more.
Right.
Kick it out of the end zone. Let's take that out of the equation. And so you think it was Butker, a mistake.
Well,
he wasn't instructed to do that.
I'll say this. Being at the game and watching that, the big return was a line drive kick. It had no hang time on it. That's why I say it looked like a miss hit to me, because it wasn't a typical, if you watch Harrison Butker kick off, obviously we know he's got a tremendous leg. There's usually a lot more hang time on the ball. The ball was going kind of sideways. It hooked. It was a line drive. It did not allow your coverage unit to get down there. And I'll also say this about kickoff teams. How many times nowadays do we see everything is, you know, kicked into the end zone as a touchback, which I think is great, number one. But from a kickoff standpoint, on your coverage team, in the back of your mind a little bit, sometimes that creeps in like, okay, he's just going to bang this thing through the end zone. It's going to be a touchback. Obviously, you're running down there to make a tackle. You're not necessarily – you have to expect them to take it out every single time. But you factor that in all of a sudden with a line drive kick that doesn't have as much hang time, your coverage unit isn't down there as far. And now you got to get off the block to make a tackle. Those are all factors that come into play. I'm still concerned about the special teams. You know, Harrison Butker obviously had a better day kicking the football through the uprights, which is great. Now, I mean, we've seen what's happened, and we saw what happened with Dallas in the playoffs. But the coverage units have to come to play as well. And, you know, there aren't that many returns for touchdowns nowadays, either punt return or kickoff returns in the National Football League. But those coverage teams have to expect a potential miss hit, or have to expect that you're going to have to cover a kick and make a play. And those types of games plays in the playoffs here, and specifically championship games that we're talking about this week, can play a huge factor if you don't get the job done special teams wise.
Anything else, Nate? You got me all riled up there about that.
I was just thinking about the field goals and extra points. I forgot about the kick returns,
but
man.
I'm watching that, and I go, okay, hey, kick it out of the end zone. I go, why are they kicking to him? Why are they kicking to him? I'm like, oh, my God, no.
But we got to feel better about the field goals and the extra points, right? Because that was what we were all freaked up. Well, and the fumbled punt returns, we were freaked out about that too.
Yes,
Tony caught his.
How about the whole special teams just come together and just have one good solid game?
But you know, I do think like I can't remember who I was listening to, one of the national pundits over the weekend talking about how, you know, this team has so many young players everywhere, and they don't have those veteran core special teamers that they've had in the past. But it was almost like they were willing to deal with some of that through the course of the year, as long as the guys learned and grew and got better from it. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. But hopefully it's not as big of an issue as it was during the course of the season.
All right, Mark Boerichter, you tell me the truth. What's your gut tell you? What's the score going to be on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium?
I'm going to, I think this is a three-point game, and I think it's 27-24. This time it's in favor of the Chiefs. It's hard. You guys know this, but it's hard to beat a team three times in a row like the Bengals have. It's even harder to do it a fourth. This is a really good football team coming in here to play the Kansas City Chiefs. I love the fact that it's at home. I think there's an advantage to that. The Chiefs are 2-2 over the last 4 years. And regardless of what happens Sunday, I think Chiefs fans should enjoy this ride. This is unprecedented to host five straight championship games in your stadium. You have a tremendous opportunity in front of you if you're the Kansas City Chiefs right now to make it to a third Super Bowl in 5 years. That's obviously the focus, but I think the Chiefs come out on top
27-24. Love it.
It's an ink now.
Reversing that scoreline.
It's an ink now. Mark Boerichter, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, fellas. Have a good rest of the week. Get some rehab on those ankles.
That's right. We'll see you soon. That is Mark Boerichter. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
He can throw that speedball by him, make you look like a fool, boy. Saw him the other night at this roadside bar. I was walking in, and he was walking out.
I changed the words to this song when I was younger.
Yeah?
And very filthy.
Is the word glory still in the lyrics?
None of your business. Hey, let me tell you something. You mind?
Well, you just keep yelling at me. You know, during
got,
the commercial breaks.
Only if it's short.
I got a friend of mine. You watch your mouth in there, by the way.
Yeah, man.
You go back to talking. To who are you talking to just now? Right here, this is the part that changed. I have to... I wonder why her and Bobby split up, by the way.
Yeah.
I bet he was
out, my business.
I bet he's got catting around on her.
Son of a gun.
Bobby. Okay.
Oh, Bobby always was a...
Listen to this.
Wild man.
I got friends that want me to tell you about a special event coming up Thursday, January 26th. Marco confirms that's in 2 days. I'm not doing the math, though, because I'm busy looking for tweets of Mahomes' ankle. All right? And so Thursday, by the way, Nate, have you ever heard of Operation Breakthrough?
I have.
That's
one,
good,
a
isn't
wonderful
it?
Organization. Amazing
That's good.
Organization.
Don't you want to do
Absolutely.
Something to help them?
Maybe one of the best things you can do, investing in the youth.
Yes.
You know, and the results at Operation Breakthrough are incredible for the kids.
Yes.
There's the official Kansas City fashion show for charity benefiting Operation Breakthrough. Thursday, January 26th at 7 o'clock. An incredible night supporting an amazing cause. I almost sound like Barry White talking about going down to Paul Quinn College. A wonderful night down in. I'm sorry. And
hi,
my friend,
Barry White.
I'm sorry, Crystal. I have to play this.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, May 8th, 9th, and 10th for the first thing. I'm cutting the spot, Tony.
Jeez.
Hi, this is Barry White. And Paul Quinn College cordially invite you to a weekend in Texas on Friday, Saturday, one more time.
I sounded like I was Barry White there for a minute. Telling you. join everyone Thursday, January 26th at 7 p.m. at Paul Quinn for an incredible night supporting Operation Breakthrough. There's going to be over 75 models, musical performances, dancers, special guests, and more. Get your tickets at eventbrite.com. All right? You go to event. You know where you know where Eventbrite is, don't you?
Yep.
You've been around the block a time.
Oh yeah, I buy my tickets to Bloomapalooza there every year. I believe.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, listen. It's going to be at the College Basketball Experience, right there next to T-Mobile Center, and you get the tickets before they sell out. So get them now. Doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. Show ends at 9:30. The event ends at 11. Coming up Thursday. And DJ Ashton Martin's going to be there. He's done many things with Richie St. John, so I'm a fan of him. And, of course, the mission of Operation Breakthrough is to provide a safe, loving, and educational environment for children in poverty and to empower their families through advocacy and through all these wonderful things that people do to raise money for Operation Breakthrough, all right? And so if you're looking for something fun to do, go to the Kansas City Fashion Show coming up on Thursday. And you can get tickets at, like I said, Eventbrite. If you just go to kcfashionshowforcharity.eventbrite.com. Or if you just go to Eventbrite and search Kansas City Fashion Show. Also, did you know that the Kansas City Frenchie Club will be making an appearance? Now, what do you think that is?
Looks like Jeff Francoeur fan club?
No, maybe. All right. But the KC,
or they go around kissing each other. With Tom?
Yeah, well, see, yeah, that's what you were in back in your days at KU. Nate had his own KU Frenchie club. Where,
nobody joined though. It was like I tried to start one. It was like nope.
That was a one man club there.
That's what he used to ask for at the bar. They'd be like, no,
hey,
want to
join the Frenchie club? Yeah. And they're like, no,
you
pass.
You got to do a petition to try to form an official club on campus. I'd like to start the KU Frenchie club. How many members you got? Me.
Can I join? Sure, but you got to kiss on it.
Yeah. No,
you got to do to join is to.
No, that's not what the KC Frenchie Club is, although you're free to start another club if you'd like.
God, we're so dumb.
Right. No, but it's for the...
Okay, I see.
French Bulldogs.
Oh, okay. There, that makes more sense.
Because my friends Sam and Crystal have a Frenchie named Capone, and he'll be appearing, so...
That dog allowed at the dog parks?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah. A shout out to the Kansas City Frenchie Club. And if you're looking for someplace fun, something to get dressed up, have some fun on a Thursday night, mm-hmm. What else are you going to do? And so support Operation Breakthrough, the Kansas City Fashion Show. Go to Eventbrite, search Kansas City Fashion Show, KC Fashion Show to get your tickets. And if you'd like to join Nate's Frenchie Club, then you can call 913-3810-810.
I'm not in the club anymore.
Tell me more about your availability. So. There. I have some friends that are part of that, so I want to make sure people go out there. How about you? Why don't you... there you go. Marco, throw a suit on and go out there. The KC Fashion Show.
Yeah. No, I thought you were talking about Nate's club again.
Well, Marco would like to join your club if it's not too late.
Marco.
He wants to know what your requirements are.
We meet in Nate's backyard.
You don't meet the requirements, Marco. I hate to tell you. Oh, you're not in the club.
My friend Crystal's like, why did I even ask him to mention this? No, but that's awesome. Look at all these Frenchies dressed up. I love it when dogs have shirts on or clothes. You know? I like monkeys in diapers. You know, I'm just that kind of guy. It's fun. We will take a break back after this on WHB.